Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebad in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebad, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen. Daf Kuf Tet Vav. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Semach Beda in memory of his father Yosef Ben Miriam. Ruach Hashem Tenichanu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'anun Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenichem Began Eden. Amen. We are beginning today's daf on Kuf Yod Dalid, and we start 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the bottom on the word Peshita. And the Gemara says, Peshita, it is obvious or simple, Hecha di'ika she'ar yirakot. If a person has other vegetables, and he also has, of course, maror. And we learned in yesterday's daf that there are two tibulin. There's tibul rishon, and then you have the tibul of the maror into the haroset. So Rav Huna teaches us over here, it's obvious if you have she'ar yirakot, if you have other vegetables, for example, we'll say karpas, if you have, let's say, the celery, so the first tibul, you take the karpas, you make a borei pri adama, because obviously it's asur to have hana'a from anything in this world without making a beracha. So you have to make what's called berkat nehenin, the beracha of before you eat. Ve'adar mevarech al achilat maror ve'achil. And then later when you make the second tibul, which is the mitzvah, so then you make a beracha, and then you eat it as well. Let's read the bottom Rashbam. Peshita hecha de'ika she'ar yirakot mevarech me'ikara betibul rishon she'ar yirakot b'nei pri adama. De'asur la'anot min ha'olam hazeh b'lo beracha. De'kevan she'yesh lo she'ar yirakot, since he has other vegetables, hache shapir tafeh. It's much better to do it this way. She'ibarech b'nei pri adama techila. Make the adama first, dahainu beracha ha'ri'uyalahin, which is the beracha that is ra'uy, befitting for them. The yiftor tamaror bebirkat pri adama. And that adama will cover the maror that you're eating after. Ve'ahar kach yivarech ala hazir ala chilat maror. So therefore, according to this system over here, it makes about most sense. Rav Huna holds mitzvot en sirichot kavana. And since he holds mitzvot en sirichot kavana, he does not want you to get involved with eating maror first, because then you're going to be yotzei the mitzvah maror, because mitzvot en sirichot kavana, you're going to be yotzei the mitzvah really not in the preferred time, because really maror is supposed to be eaten after the matzah, because it's a matzot umrorim. So then he says, listen, if you have she'ar yirakot, go with the she'ar yirakot. Don't get involved with eating maror twice and having to be yotzeh the first time, etc. So that's the first din. Now, if you look at the bottom Tosfot says, Rav Huna savar kerish lakish deba'eh. I'm sorry. Let's continue reading for a moment. That's the Peshita. Now, Peshita, echadika she'ar yirakot, bevarecha she'ar yirakot, b'nei pri adama, v'achiv adama, v'recha lecha maror, v'achid. Hecha deleka ela hasa. Here's the point. In a place where a person only has hasa, meaning lettuce, that's a maror item. So he's going to need that for both tibulim. Yeah. He's going to need that for tibul rishon and tibul sheni. Mai. So what is he supposed to do? Amar avuna, mevarech me'ikara amaror, borei pri adama, v'achil. Let him again use that for the first tibul. He has to take whatever adama, eat it. Ulbesof mevarech aleha al achilat maror. And then he'd have to make on it what? Al achilat maror on the second tibul. Ve'achil. And then he would eat it. Now look at the bottom Tosfot. Amar Ravuna mevarech. Ravuna savar kerish lakish deba'e kavana. Which he holds mitzvot sirichot kavana. So therefore, since mitzvot sirichot kavana, there really is no problem to eat the hasa first, because you're not yotzei yedei chovat maror, and since you're not yotzei yedei chovat maror, so therefore it's a vegetable. You're eating whatever adama for tibul nishon, and then you'll eat the maror again. The second time you'll have kavana, and the proof is you're making a barakah. You're saying I should get the shemus of sivanu ala kilat maror. So it's clear that wherever you're making the barakah, that's where your kavana is, and therefore you eat the hasa twice. That's the shita of Rav Huna. So yeah, Rav Huna is telling us again from the beginning. If you have Sha'ar Yirakot, everybody will tell you, opt for the Sha'ar Yirakot, not to put yourself in a predicament. But if you only have Hasa, do it twice. First time Adama, second time Alakhilat Maror. Beautiful. Now comes the Gemara and says, Matkif La'ar of Hasda. So Rav Hasda asks a question. La'achar Shemile Kiresoe Menu. After a person filled his stomach with them, he's going to eat it again? Now this question over here is subject to a machloket rishonim. How to learn this question? Let's learn the Rashbam. There's a very small Rashbam, but we see a shita. Ulbesof achil belo beracha mishum deba'e Tzre tibule, which means, it sounds from Rav Hasda, that you are yotze with the first eating. And the only reason why you'd be eating the second maror is just because the children to do something different. And the Rashbam is speaking that out very clearly. So therefore, with the question according to Rav Hasda is, hold it, you were yotze already with the first maror. So le'achar shemile kireso mehem. After you filled your stomach with them and you were yotzeh the obligation of eating maror, because Rav Hasda will hold that what? Mitzvot enam sirichot kavana. And since you hold mitzvot enam sirichot kavana, so you yotzeh already. So he's asking the obvious question. If you filled your stomach already with them, how are you going to eat them again later on with the beracha? If anything, the second eating of the hasa is only for a Hekir, to do something strange in order to get the children to ask. That's the way the understanding of the Rashban is, and actually that is the way of the Me'iri. I'll read you the Me'iri inside. Uldat Rav Hasda eno sover kravuna ela sava shemitzot enam sirichot kavana. The Me'iri speaks this out clearly. V'devrei Gemara le'achar shemile kireso memenu haynu mashal, meaning lomar shekevar yatsa betibul rishon v'asa vo kol hanitzlach ve'each yachzor v'ibarech. Which means he's saying you ate it already, your stomach is full, meaning you fulfilled your obligation, because mitzvot enam sirichot kavana. How could you say alachilat maror on the second eating? Seemingly that would be a beracha lebatala. That's the way the Me'iri understands the question. Tosfot holds that no, even Rav Hasda agrees to Rav Huna, mitzvot sirichot kavana. However, his question is that it doesn't make sense to be yotze and make the beracha al achilat maror in the second eating, even though that's where you're being yotze. But it doesn't make sense to make the beracha after you fill your stomach with them in the first eating. So therefore, Tosfot understands that Hasda will say, you're supposed to make your al achilat maror in the first eating, but you're not yotze then. It's a delay. You make the al achilat maror in the first eating, which is hekir, and then you use that beracha for the second eating that's going to come after, and that's not considered a efsek, and it's not considered a sehadat, and Tosfot proves some other cases where a person can make it. No, he'll make alachilat maror the first time, it's going to Rav Hasda, and the second time nothing, because you covered your bnei adamah already, and you covered with your maror, your alachilat maror. That's the way Tosfot understands. So the base of halukah is, what does Rav Hasda hold? Does he hold mitzvot sirichot kavana or mitzvot enam sirichot kavana? Basically, whatever he holds, he's still challenging Rav Huna's premise. Your system is not a good system, either because it's a berachah batala. Because how could you make ala kirat maror? You were yotzei ready maror in the first tibbut. According to Tosfot, no, I agree with you. Mitzvot Tzirichot Kavanah. And therefore you were not Yotzeh in the first eating. But you know what? You should make Alechalat Maror then, because it's not proper to make Alechalat Maror after you filled your stomach with them. The Alechalat Maror should be made in the beginning, and it's on hold, and it'll be, you'll use it later on after. That is Shitat Tosfot. Anyway, comes the Gemara and says, Ela Amar Rav Chisda. So therefore Rav Chisda offers his option, which is what? Meikara Mevarech Aleh Borei Pri Adama V'Alechalat Maror. In the first eating, you make both berachot. You make borei pri adama. You also make al achilat maror, the achil, and you eat. Ul besof, achil achilat hasa belo beracha. Then you eat the hasa a second time without a beracha. Again, comes out, whichever way you're learning, which maror are being yoseh with the beracha. If you say that you also want enam sirichot kavana, it's the first eating. If you hold that it is the mitzvot, sirichot kavanah, then it's the second eating with the beracha being made in the beginning. That would be like the Tosafot. Comes the Gemara and says, Besuria avde kenavuna. In Surya, they followed the opinion of Ravuna, meaning the way they ate the two dippings in a case where they had only hasa. Rav Sheshat bered Rabbi Yeshua Avid k'Rav Chisda. But we have other rabbis that followed Rav Chisda. V'lcheta kevateh t'Rav Chisda. And the halacha indeed follows Rav Chisda. So the Gemara says, Ravaha bered Rava mehader ashar irakot la'apuken nafshe mepelukta. Ravaha bered Rava, he made sure to toil after other vegetables in order to take himself out of the machloket. Because now everybody agrees. If you have Sha'ar Yirakot, finish. Make the first thing on Sha'ar Yirakot. Make your Adama. Everybody agrees you're not Yotzeh. You don't have to put a delay on your Beracha. It's fine. So he says, even though Adaka would follow Rav Chisda if you only had Hasa, where you would do it twice, the way he proposed. However, the best way, and that's why we follow this opinion, we get ourselves out of mahloket, we take a karpas, and we make an adamad, and we make the beracha of Allah al Baror later on in the Sa'uda. Now, Tosfot has a question over here. On your maror that you're eating after Birkat HaMotzi, the second tibul, do you have to make a borei pri ha'adama on this eating?
Which eating?
On the second tibul, do you have to make a beracha rishona?
Same maror twice?
Which means even if you made a beracha before the meal, you do have the whole entire haggadah in between. And then we're making nitlat yadayim hamotzi. So the she'ela is the beracha that you made borei pri adama in the first dipping cover you for the second dipping or not? Now from our Gemara's mashma, that it covers you, because clearly the Gemara says that on the second dipping you make just one beracha of alechilat maror. But let's see the Tosfot. V'hadar achil hasa belo beracha. Right, that was the opinion of Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said you make the two berachot on the first hasa, and the second eating without a beracha. V'nir'eh de'en tzarik levarech borei pri adama. אף על גב דהגדה אבי הפסק כדי פרישית לעיל ולא מפטר בברכה של טיבול ראשון. So he's telling you that you're not יוצא really from the first ברכה פרי אדמה, because הגדה indeed is a הפסק מכל מקום ברכת המוסיף פה טרטן. Because aren't you eating the מצה? Didn't you make a מוציא on the מצה? דהבה לדברים הבאים בתוך הסעודה מחמת הסעודה. It's considered items that are coming in the meal, and they are for the purpose of the meal. Meaning, any items that are appetizing items, that let's say, open the appetite, and are usually eaten, let's say, with the bread itself, so that would be considered part of the sa'uda. So part of the sa'uda, the hamotzi, covers it. Sha'arei yirakot goririn halev. The yirakot, they draw the heart into eating. Ve'kari le namer lemaror perperet apat. Remember in Masechet Berachot we learned that the pat is poter the parperet. What is the papeda? Literally the peripheral, or what is secondary to the pat. This maror over here is not like fruit, where people, let's say, would not eat fruit during a seudah, which maybe you'd have to make another beracha. So that's just what's shita, that the hamotzi covers the maror. Other rishonim argue and say, no, that's not the angle, because you're only eating a kezayit to this maror, and you're really eating it for the mitzvah. This is not being eaten over here as a appetizer or to open up the lev. And therefore they want to say that really the hamotzi would not cover this this item. Ela, you have to have kavana when you make the borei pri adama for your karpas, have in mind to be yotzeh for the maror as well. So that's a machloket Tosfot brings that shita towards the end. We could go to the end of the Tosafot. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down in the wide lines of Tosafot. The Arav Yosef Tov Elim Katab Sidro. He wrote in his Sidur, Lama Sha'ar Yirakot Ba'in Tehila. He gives a reason. Why do we have Sha'ar Yirakot first? Liftor Hazeret Beberacha Re'uyala. It's for the specific reason, so you can make an Adama to be Poter the Maror. That's his reason. Tosafot does not accept or like that reason. Again, it's a very important machloket rishonim. La halakha, we hold that one indeed should have kavana at the time of the first tibul to be yotze the maror from the beraka of borei peri ha'adama. Comes the Gemara now onto a new point. Amar Ravina. Amar li Rav Misharshia bere de Rav Natan. Hachi Amar Hillel. This is what Hillel said. Mishemed Gemara. Literally from the name of the Gemara. We would say this from tradition, meaning from his rabbi, that heard from his rabbi, all the way back. Now, I want to point out this Hillel that we're mentioning over here is Hillel the Amora. He's not a Tana. Not Hillel HaZaken, the famous Tana. Now, Gemara says, "Lo nichroch inish matzah umaror bahadeh hadadeh v'nichul." A person on the night of the seder should not make a sandwich from the matzah and the maror and eat them together. Don't eat them like that. Eat them separately. Why? Mishum desvira lan, because we hold matzah bezmanazeh deoraita. The obligation to eat matzah today is still Midrash Umaror Drabanan. However, the Maror today is only Midrash Banan. Which means once already we don't have Korban Pesach anymore, so the Maror becomes Drabanan. So now, the question is, what's going to be if you're going to put them together? So he says, Ve'ate Maror Drabanan Umivatele Lematzah De'oraita. What's going to happen is the maror, which is rabbinical, is going to nullify the matzah, which is the oraita. How is it going to nullify it? Bottom line, aren't you eating it? What do you mean nullifying it? Bottom line, you're ingesting the matzah. So you're ingesting it together with maror. What's the pshat it nullifies? So the Rashbam over here says, Umevatilla leta'am matzah de oraita. He understands that the taste or the bitterness of the maror will affect the ta'am of the matzah, and therefore it negates it. When you have to eat the matzah, you have to have ta'am matzah. When you don't have ta'am matzah, you're not yotzeh. Now, by taking a maror and putting it, and only because it's drabbanan, since it's drabbanan, it has the ability to affect and impact the mitzvah, the oraita. That's the way that she learns as well. Tosfot understands from here that if, let's say, a person would put spices in his matzah, he also would not be yotzeh, because you see where you need what? Ta'am matzah. So just like the maror can negate the eating of the matzah, so too other spices. But the Tosfot says if you just added a little spices, that's not going to be mevatel the ta'am. Now the Ramban understands this halakha in a different light. He says, "Ena kavana she ta'am matzah batel."
It's not the pshat that you're mevatiling the tam. Ela mitzvat achilat matzah betela memenu ki sarich la'asot otah b'fnei atzma. You understand? The eating of the matzah has to be done alone. And therefore you mevatil the achilah of matzah. Others learn, Rabbeinu David, for example, he says, it's considered a hatzitzah. Which means, imagine if you would take, let's say, the matzah, and you would wrap it around with some sort of a string. And you would ingest it like that. The matzah is not touching your throat. You have a hifsek between the matzah and your mouth. So he writes over there that it's like karchan besiv, which we're going to learn later on. It's like you took a string, a certain type of string, and you covered the matzah. Here you took your maror, you covered the matzah, it serves as a hifsek in the akhirah. So basically there's three understandings of what's the bitul of the mitzvah over. Is it bitul in ta'am, like Shitat Rashi and Rashbam? Is it bitul in akhilah, that you have to eat it alone, like the Ramban? Or is it considered a hifsek in the akhilah, like Rabbeinu David? Now, comes the Gemara and says, and even according to the opinion, says no. There's no such concept as mitzvot mebatlot zu etzu. You can do the two mitzvot like that, and they will not negate each other. That's only if both mitzvot are deoraita, or the rabbanan b'drabbanan, or both mitzvot are on the rabbanan level. However, about deoraita or drabbanan. Like in this case, where your matzah is the oraita and your maror is the rabbanan, ate the rabbanan, umavti le the oraita. Indeed, the rabbanan will negate the mitzvah. Now, the Rashbam explains that according to the opinion that says mitzvot enam mevatlot zu et zu. So the explanation is because since they're equal, each one is on equal footing. Either both are on the deoraita level or on the drabanan level. Therefore, does not have the ability to mivatel. The Hatam Sofer explains what this means. We have a principle in the laws of Yoredi'ah: min bimino eno batel, which means when you have two similar items that get mixed up with each other, both maintain its identity. For example, if milk would fall into meat, there's a concept of bitul. The milk is one species, and the meat is a different species. That's called min b'she'enu b'mino. Min b'enu mino has bitul. However, the min b'mino eno batel, which means there is no bitul on two like items in certain cases. So therefore, the Hatam Sofer wants to say that they're not going against each other. They're not two different items that can mevatel each other. Two deoraitas are two on the same items. So therefore, they're able to coexist and you're being yotzei the mitzvah. That's the shita. Now, however, everybody would agree in this case, since it's the rabbanan deoraita, you are not yotzei. Comes the Gemara and says, Mantana, who's the opinion? The shamat le mitzvot en mebatelot zu et zu. Who's that opinion? Which opinion holds that mitzvot do not mivatel? Again, only when there are two deoraitas. Hilali. Right. Hilal azaken. Ditana. Ditanya, because we have a braita. Amru alav al hilal. We have a record about hilal. They said, Shaya korchan bevatahat veochlan. He used to make the sandwich. He used to take the matzah, the maror, and the korban pesach. And he used to put them all together and eat them. Shnei emar al matzot umeoreruim yochelu, which means with the matzot and the meorim you should eat it. Eat what? Eat the korban pesach. Now again, these items over here obviously are the times of the Beit HaMikdash. The matzah, the maror, the korban pesach were all deoraita. And you see what Hillel is telling you? The preferred way according to the Tratit is how? Yeah. In a sandwich. So you see, hold that on the Doraita level, mitzvot ena mibatlot zoetzu. From the fact that that's the way Hillel ate it. So comes the... Incidentally, that's the... Rashbam clearly says, korchan devatahat, pesach, masa umaror. All three items are eaten together. Okay. Comes the Gemara and says, Ve'amar Rabbi Yohanan. Rabbi Yohanan came along and said, Holkin alav haverav al Hillel. The rabbis argued on Hillel. They held on, that's not the way you eat the Pesach Masal Marur. Why? Netanya, because we have a brighter. Yachol ye korchan bevat ahat ve'ochlan kederek shehillel ochlan. Well, you think that that's the way you're supposed to eat it? In all one sandwich together, like Hillel proposed? Talmud lomar, al matzot umirorim yochelu hu. From the fact that the Pasuk says yochelu hu, that is singular. I just mentioned both items, so to teach us the extra who is referring to that. Well, each item should be eaten individually. Mm-hmm. But listen to the end of the braita. Afilu ze bifne atzmo ve ze bifne atzmo.
They don't have to be together here.
So he writes, even if they are separate. Now, that's a funny proof. Because it's mashma from the fact that the braita ends off and says, even separate. That's mashma. But if you want to eat it together, go right ahead. So you're trying to prove to me, oh, Rabbi Yohanan says, the rabbis, they argue on Hillel. Which means, they would hold, you can't put them together. But from the braita, it doesn't say that. All the braita says is, you have an option to eat them separately. But it's mashma that you even can eat it. Meaning, but if you want to eat it together, go right ahead. So the Gemara asks, "Matkif la'rav asher iache mai afilu." If you come to a tribe to prove to me that the rabbis do not hold of this concept of making the korei because they hold mitzvot mevatlot zu and zu, what's the afilu in the beraita? So the Gemara says, "Ela amarav asher." Now, whenever you see an ela, it rejects the original premise. Which is according to Rav Asher. Rav Asher is going to answer, you know what? Really, the rabbis agree to Hillel that what? That mitzvot ena mebatlot zu et zu. And really, if you want to eat it in the korech, go right ahead. Hay tana haki ketani. Yachol lo yetze be'u yedeh chovato. Ela im ken korcham bevatahat ve'ochlan kedir shelel ochlan. Do you think that the only way you can be yotze is if you eat it together? Talmud lomar al matzot umrorim yochelu afilu ze bifne atzmo veze bifne atzmo, which means the hadush of this opinion is you have another option. Whereas Hillel will tell you that what lekat tahila, you have to eat it bevatahat. This rabbi will tell you no, there's no preference. You can eat it bevatahat, or if you eat it also separately. So therefore, it's not where you have a machloket over here in mevatlot zu et zu. According to this, everybody holds mitzvot on the same madriga ena mevatlot zu et zu. Ela the machloket is what is preferred. Hillel will tell you korchan. That's the right way. He's going to learn it that when it says al matzot umrorim, means with the matzot umrorim, meaning together. And the other rabbi will tell you no. The fact that it says yochelu hu. The who teaches me what they can be even eaten separately. So comes the Gemara and says, "Hashta delo et mar il cheta, lo ke lel velo ke rabbanan," which means now that we don't have a hakra'ah, is the halakha like Hillel, or is the halakha like the rabbis? Mevarech al achilat matzah ve'achil. First, what we do in the seder. We make al achilat matzah first, and we eat matzah separately. Va'adar bevarech al achilat maror ve'achil. Then we eat the maror separately, al achilat maror, and we eat. Va'adar achil matzah ve'hasa ve'adadadeh. Then we make the sandwich of the matzah and the hasa together, belo beracha. Without a beracha, zecher lemikdash kelem. Which means like this. Today, we do not put anything together. Now, nobody would tell us to put anything together over here today, because you have matzah de oraita and maror de rabbanan. In that case over there is no mahloket, that what? You're not supposed to put it together. So therefore, today we're going to eat them separately. But what? Just to commemorate the way Hillel HaZaken used to do the seder, in his seder there was a sandwich. So therefore, we're only eating the sandwich, not to alleviate any halachic issues over here. Because everybody agrees that the only way to do it is matzah levad, maror levad. Because everybody will hold in this case the mitzvah will be mevatel zuwet zu, because it's rabbanan and deoraita. Ella, what are we doing over here? Have the sandwich just commemorate the inyan that that's the way Hillel used to do it bezman shebet hamikdash hayakayam, and that's actually the way Baram brings down an halacha, and that's the way the poskim explain it. And the Rashbam speaks this out clearly. Zecher lemikdash kehillel, kemo sheya oseh le bezman shebet hamikdash sheyo ochli pesachim. Right, at the time they used to eat the Korban Pesach, where everything was, they were right. Okay, next point. Amar Rabbi El-Azhar, Amar Rabbi Yoshaya. Kol shetibuno b'mashke, sarich nitilat shadayim. Okay, now, since we're talking about dippings, so now we're going to another halakha. Gemara gives a rule. Any item, like a vegetable, that you're going to dip into a liquid, is going to necessitate netilat yadayim first. Why? Let's review quickly the laws of tum'ah. One law is setam yadayim shiniyot le tum'ah. Hakamim said regular hands are considered a sheni level to tum'ah. Now, a sheni, if it touches food, cannot make it a shilishi, unless that item is terumah. If the item is terumah, terumah can become a shilishi. However, regular foods, hulin, if you, a sheni touches it, it does not make impact it at all, unless there is liquid involved. How does it work when there's liquid? So the Hakami made another gizdan, and they said that when your shini hands touch the liquid that's on the fruit, the liquid reverts back to become a rishon letum'ah. Now, once that rishon letum'ah is touching the food, it will make the food a shini letum'ah. So therefore the Hakami necessitated, when a person is going to dip a vegetable in liquid, in order that you don't make the food a sheni letum'ah, so you have to make netilat yadayim. Now what is netilat yadayim going to do? Now your hands are not a sheni anymore. Now when it touches the water, nothing happens to the water, and the food does not become tameh. Now the reason why the Hakamim necessitated this, the Poskim explained, the Shonim explained as well, is just like they necessitated netilat yadayim for lechem. What was the reason why they necessitated netilat yadayim for lechem? Because they did it for the Kohanim. Because they were concerned that Kohanim will eat bread of terumah. If they're not going to wash their hands, the terumah can become a shilishi. So they said, you know what? For that one, food, every time you're going to eat food like bread, which is a staple item, so they want you to make the tlat yadayim in order that the Kohanim will be zealous and always wash their hands before they eat bread, so they don't make their terumah a sheni. Now the rabbis extended that as well when it came to vegetables. Because now, by not washing your hands, the vegetables will become a sheni. So now, anytime you're having a situation where you have a food that can become a sheni, there's a gizra that the Kohanim will touch that by terumah, and it will become a shilishi. So therefore they put it not only by bread, but they made the gizra also by any item that you're dipping in the liquid. Now, which liquids are we talking about? The seven liquids. Yad, shahat, dam. Yad shahat dam would be yayin, dam, blood, that's yad. Shahat, shin, shemen, which is shemen zayid. Halav is milk, tal is dew. Dam would be dvash, honey, and mem would be mayim. So now comes the Gemara and says, Amar papa, shmat minna, we learn from over here, hay hasa, this hasa that you're eating, sarich leshiku'e baharoset mishum kapah. Now, if you tell me you have to make the tlat yadayim, the assumption is that what? Your hands are going to come in contact with the liquid. Because your hands, which are a shini, are going to touch the liquid that's on the vegetable, make it a rishon, the rishon's going to make the vegetable a shini. Now, where is your hands going to come into contact over here? You're dipping the, let's say, the hasa, the maror, you're dipping it into haroset. Like we said, that there was a certain poison, we'll call it kappa. Kappa is either a certain poison in the maror itself, that the only way to negate it was by dipping it in the haroset. The haroset had wine in it, and the wine of the haroset would somehow negate it. Or some say that the kappa was actually a worm that was on the haroset, and the way to, you know, kill that worm would be by putting it in the haroset. But it's must, in order to do the job, you have to actually drown the maror in the haroset. And that's why you have to make the tlat yadayim. Because your hands are going to come in contact with the With the liquid. Yes, the haroset has yayin in it. The haroset has wine in it. Wine is one of the seven liquids. So therefore I tell you again, when you're taking the maror, they're telling you, you're dipping it in the haroset, you have to make the tzad shadayim. Why? That means my hands must be coming in contact with the liquid. How? If I'm just doing a superficial dipping, my hands are only holding onto the maror. My hands don't touch the haroset. No, must be that you have to actually submerge the maror into the haroset. Why? Because of the issue of kappa. What is kappa? Look at the Rashbam. Sarikh l'shikur'e b'haroset. You have to submerge it in the haroset all the way. Mishum kappa. So your hands are going to be touching the liquid. Eris shehazeret yesh bo eris. Yeah, the hazeret has a poison in it. Kederech habetzalim, like onions. Vilkach sarin tidat yadav tibur rishon. Kedelkaman shere nogeya b'mashkim. You're touching the liquid. Kishemashkiya tahazeret b'haroset. Verach piresh kappa tola'at. This is a type of tola'at. And therefore, in order to get rid of that tola'at, that type of worm, that's the way the Tosfot explains as well. Now really, this is a type of worm that grows in the fruit itself. If it grows in the fruit itself, it's not one of the worms that are forbidden from the Torah, so that's why there's no problem to eat it, but you want to get rid of it. You don't want to eat the worm. So therefore they said, just put it in the haros and that will, right, it'll kill it. It'll just, it'll actually get rid of it. Comes the Gemara and says, the isal kadatak lo tzarich l'shikua, because if you're going to tell me you don't have to submerge it, nitilat shadayim lamali, why would I have to make nitilat shadayim? Ha lo naga, I didn't touch the liquid. So comes the Gemara and says, hold it. V'dilma le'olam emalach lo tzarich l'shikua. Maybe I'll argue and tell you, you don't have to submerge it, and your hands are really not touching the liquid. V'kapa mireha mayit. And maybe the kappa dies just from the smell of the haroset. Maybe you're not going to submerge the whole maror. Maybe just put the maror next to the haroset, or just, you know, dab it with the haroset, and it smells it, and therefore it dies. So then the question is, if that's the case, yeah, because if we learned earlier that if you only have hasa, so even in the first dipping you'd have to dip it in haroset, because bottom line there's a poison there. So if there's a poison in there, so the Gemara is saying now, really I'll tell you, you don't have to dip it, submerge it. So if you don't have to submerge it, why did you tell me you have to make the tilat shadayim? Your hands are not coming in contact with the liquid. So the Gemara says, no, dilma mashke'ule. It's a gezera. We're worried that you might submerge it and your hand might touch the liquid, and therefore you have to be concerned. Ve'amara papa. Now the papa said a different din. Lo nishe inish maror b'haroset. Don't leave the maror sitting in the haroset. Why? Dilma agav haliyad tbalin. Because of the sweetness of the spices that were in the haroset. Like we're going to learn later that the haroset, one of the ingredients was apples. Apples are sweet. So we're worried that the sweetness of the haroset might affect the bitterness of the maror. Mavti le marore. It's going to take away the bitterness of the maror. Uba'inan ta'am maror veleka. And you need ta'am maror and you are not going to have it. Right. Comes the Gemara and says, Adbere Rav Hasda le Ravna Ukba v'darash. But it literally means he was escorting him. And at the time he was escorting him, he was saying over a halakha. Natal yada b'tibul rishon. If a person made netilat shadayim for tibul rishon, for the first tibul, notel yada b'tibul sheni. If he decides to eat some more, he has to make netilat shadayim again for the second tibul. Now what are we talking about over here? Are we talking about Lel Pesach? Are we talking about during the week? So the Gemara says, Amarua Rabbanan Kamed Rav Papa. So they said this halakha in front of Rav Papa, and he said, Ha be'alma itmar. This is talking about stam. A guy during the week, not on Pesach, who normally does not dip more than once. And therefore, if he dipped once, of course he has to make the touch adayim. But since his intention is not to dip again, it's considered as if he had a hesech hada'at. He has a break in the intent, and therefore we'd have to make the tlat shadayim on the second dipping that he did not anticipate to eat. That was his deen. Why? Because if you're going to tell me that it's talking about Leil Pesach, that you have to make the tlat shadayim twice, למה לי נטילת ידיים תרזמנה? המשל לידי חדה זמנה. It says, what do you mean? He washed his hands once already, and he knows that what? He's going to have to eat again. It's during Pesach, it's an exceptional night. We dip twice, we eat twice. So therefore, you can't be talking about Pesach. Why would you have to wash twice? Mashenkin on a normal weekday. I understand why you have to wash twice, because after the first eating, dipping, it's usually all you do. So to say, Adat, you have to dip again. I mean, wash again. Amar lihu rapapa. So the papa says, what do you mean? Adrabba. On the contrary. Hacha itmar. It was said specifically by Pesach. Leil Pesach. That you have to wash twice. The isal kadatak be'alma itmar. If you're going to tell me it's talking about be'alma in a normal night, lama li tretibule. Which means, who's eating tretibule? Which means it was so uncommon, the Gemara is asking, what are you talking about? Guys eating tre tebule? Who eats tre tebule? Who dips twice? That cannot be the case. Ela mai hacha itmar? Oh, you tell me it's by Pesach? Netilat yadayim tre zemne lamali. Hamashal yadeh hada zemna. Now you did it once. Amar kevan deba'ay limar agata ve'alila. Since between the first dip and the second one, you have hefsek. You have the Haggadah, you have half of the Hallel, Dilma Asuche, Ashe, Lidate, Venaga. We're worried what's going to happen. Your mind might be taken off watching your hands. As you're going through the Haggadah, you might touch places that are dirty, let's say. So therefore, in Achenemi, even though you knew you're going to eat some more things that I needed, Tevila, but since there's a significant hefsek between Tibul Rishon and Tibul Sheni, so therefore, even on Leil Pesach, you would have to do it twice. Now, we do wash twice, because we wash on the Matzah. So Tosfot says that when the Gemara is talking about over here, Tibul Sheni, he's really referring to washing for the Hamotzi. Because that's the same point. Which means the Gemara is really saying, if you made your Netilat Yadayim for Tibul Rishon, you still have to make Netilat Yadayim for the Matzah. It's the same concept. It's the bottom line, what do you mean? Your hands are clean already, and you know you're eating the Matzah. Ela, what's the reason why? Because the Haggadah and the Halel is going to be a Sechadah, because it's a long break. So therefore, you'd have to do it again. Comes Gibran says, Amar Rabatot, Bala Masa Yasa. Somebody took the Matzah, he didn't chew on it, just swallowed the Matzah. You'd say, Yedehova. Bala maror lo yatsa. But if you swallow the maror, lo yatsa. What's the logic? Look at Rashbam. Bala masa velo la'asa. You didn't chew it. Yasa. Share kiyim ba'arif tochilu matzot. Share achila hilo. Is it? Bottom line, you ate it. And all the Torah says by matzah is, eat it. Miu lechet ta'ila ta'am matzah ba'ina. Lechet ta'ila would rather you taste the matzah as well. Bala maror lo yatsa, Rashbam. Teba'inan ta'am maror. When it comes to the maror, the whole mitzvah is what? To taste it. Veleka, de meshum achi kapit achmara le maror. Le marer et piv. Why are you eating the maror? In order to give a bitter taste in your mouth. Shiloch zechele vevay mareru et hayehem. So if a maror, you have to chew and feel the merirut. Whereas matzah, like a tayla, you should chew it and feel it. But the arad, if you swallowed it, it's okay. Next case. Bala matzah maror. You ate them together. You put the matzah and the maror together, and you swallowed both of them. Yedeh matzah yatsa. Yedeh maror lo yatsa. So the Gemara says, well, the matzah that you swallowed, you yotze. But the maror that you swallowed, you're not yotze. Which means, again, the fact that you ate them together, you're only going to get the matzah. You're not going to get the maror. Because the Gemara says, the Tosfot asked the obvious question over here. Tosfot says, "V'im tomar, כיוון שאין במעבר זה מצווה מדרבנן לבטיל מעבר להי מצא דבעדה. Didn't we learn above that when you do the mitzvot together, mitzvot mevatlot zu et zu, especially when they're not on the same level? So how could you be yosef in the matzah? You should get zero. The maror is going to mevatel the matzah. The maror will mevatel the matzah. The yesh lomar, the lo sheyach bitul ela kishelo asan yachad. That's only sheyach when you're chewing them. The az mevatel ta'am yachad et chavero. Had we explained according to the Rashbam above the logic of bitul in the mitzvot, the ta'am of this is mevatel the ta'am of that. When you're swallowing, nothing is mevatel anything because the ta'am of the maror, you're not even tasting it. So therefore, you'll be yotzei the matzah because you did not chew it, nor did you chew the maror. That clear? Mm-hmm. So comes the Gemara and says, now, karkan besiv ubalan. Let's say you took the matzah and the maror and you wrapped it in sieve. Sieve is like a certain grass that grows around the palm tree. It's like you encapsulated the matzah and the maror. It's like a little string. You wrapped it around. So the Gemara says, "Af yede matzah name lo yatsa." You're not going to say anything. Why? Because it's not even considered an achila. Because the matzah didn't even touch your mouth. There's a hefsek of the sieb in between. To be considered an achila, at least it has to go down your the pipes touching the body. Here, since you have a hefsek in between, and you swallow it, you're not yotze anything. Amar Rav Shimi Bar Asher. Rav Shimi Bar Asher said, "Matzah lefne kol ehad ve'ehad." What does this mean? Everybody's sitting at the seder table. You should put matzah in front of all the members, in front of everybody. Look at the Rashbam. Minhag shelayin haya la'asev al amitot. The old days used to sit on the floor, like on couches. They used to lean on the couches that were on the floor. Everybody would have their own table. Not like us today that we have one big, collective table. Now, so therefore the custom was everybody on their own little table would have their own matzah and maror. But for us, you just put it in front of the Malabai that's running the seder, and it'll give out to everybody else. So again, matzah lefne kol ehad ve'ehad, maror lefne kol ehad ve'ehad, maror as well, haroset lefne kol ehad ve'ehad, as well as the haroset. So again, the Rashbam says since each guy has his own table, so each guy has to have his equipment, his mitzvot in front of him. Now the Tosafot explains a reason why. So Tosafot says nireh the ta'ama kedesh shiyitom tekef lebracha miyad. Tosafot explains like this: we want you to taste from the mitzvot immediately. And why should that be different than when you're eating, let's say, on Lir Shabbat, where the Baal HaBayit makes the hamotzi, he's the only guy that has the bread in front of him, and everybody just waits to eat. So Tosafot says because it's different. There, it's only a birkat and a henin. Here, however, it's a birkat ha-mitzvah. Meaning, you're also making al achilat matzah, and you're making al achilat maror. When it comes to making a beracha of a mitzvah, you're not supposed to have a hefsek between the beracha and the beginning of the mitzvah. Now, if the Baal HaBayis can be the only guy that has the matzah and the maror, he's going to make the beracha, everybody's going to answer amen. Now what? You have to wait until he eats himself, and he passes down to everybody else. Tosafot says that's hefsek. And therefore, it's proper to have it in front of everybody. Now, according to the Tosafot, this would apply even if people are sitting on a collective table. So you see, we have a big machlokot over between the Tosafot and the Rashbam. What's the logic here? Rashbam says, listen, the only reason why you need your separate goods, because in those days, that's the way they sat. They sat with separate tables. A separate table has to have their own stuff. Masha'en kid, today we have one table, one for the whole Baal HaBayit. Masha'en kid, according to Tosafot, he says, no, this is a nyan over here of speed. We want everybody to have the goods in front of him, so right when he makes the berachah, the mitzvah, there'll be no interruption between the berachah, the mitzvah, and the eating. So therefore, everybody has to have it next to him. So like I said, according to Tosafot, it should not make a difference in the style of the eating, whether you eat on separate tables or eat on one big table. So comes the Gemara and says, ואין עוקרין את השולחן אלא לפני מי שאומר הגדה.
and we do not remove the table only in front of the person that is reading the Haggadah. What is this referring to? Rashbam. We're going to learn soon that there was a mitzvah to take the table away before the meal. Why? In order that the tinokot will ask a question, hey, what's going on over here? What are we taking away the table for? We didn't start eating. Now, in those days, the guy that was doing the Haggadah, he would have the table in front of him as well. As a matter of fact, each person had their own personal table. But for this heker, you only have to take the table of one of the people, meaning the Baal Haggadah. Aval anu misalkin et ha-ka'ara. Our custom is we have a big table. You take the whole dining room table inside? No. Of course not. So the Rashbam says our custom would be what? Is to take the Seder plate, the Ka'ara, Sheba, Matzah, Maror, Shnei Tabshilin, Lesof HaShulchan. You don't need to take it out of the room. Just move it to the end of the table. Vedai Lanu Bekach. And that would be enough. So that's what the Rashbam is saying. That in those days, it was only in front of the Baal HaBayit. In our days, it means just take the Ka'ara off the table. Again, this is to arouse the children to ask. Comes the Gemara and says, Ravuna Amar, Kullehu Name Lifne Mish Omer Haggadah. He comes along and says, everybody is considered as sitting in front of the Baal, a bite of the Haggadah. And therefore, everybody does not have to have the Matzah, the Maror, the Haror sit in front of him. All you need is one set in front of the Baal Haggadah, and he makes the berachot for everybody, and we're not worried about hefsek and all these things. Go to Ravuna, he's running the show. All you need is one set. So comes again and says, Amri debe Rabbi Yanai, sorry, Vilcheta, Ravuna, and Alaka indeed follows Ravuna, and that is our custom. And I was said, Darim, there's one ka'ara on the table in front of the Baal HaBayit, and everybody is yotzeh with that. Ka'ara, you don't need to have a whole ka'ara in front of each person at the seder. Now the Gemara says, "Lama okrim et ha-shulchan? You slipped in there before that you have to move away the shulchan." And the whole machlok it was, you move it, you only have to move it, not machlok, but the statement was you move it in front of the Baal Haggadah. Why are you taking away the table at all? So the Gemara says, "Amre debe Rabbi Yanai, kedesh yakiru tinokot v'yishalu." So the children will ask, or they'll be aroused and they will ask. Right, they're going to say, what's going on? We didn't have the meal yet. Why are you taking away the ka'ara? And then what are the parents going to say? Oh, no, don't worry, we're bringing it back. Because we still have some more things to do. We're going to dip again. What are we dipping again for? Oh, Abadi Mayin al-Faro. And then we go into the whole story. Abaye, Abaye Atif Kamed Rabah. Abaye was a young child. He was sitting in front of Rabah. Hazad deka madlet taka mikameh. He saw that they were taking the table away from him. They said that they were following the halakha. They took the table away from Rabbah. Abad Lehuso, Abaye comes look and says, hey, Adayin lo ka'achlinan. We didn't eat yet. Atuka me'akle taka mikaman. And you're taking away the table from us? Which means it worked. Abaye was a little child, but very sharp, obviously. He said, what's going on over here? We didn't eat yet. What are you taking away the table for? Abale Rabbah comes along and says, Patartan Melomar Manishtana. He came along and says, that's it. You exempted us from our obligation of Manishtana. What does this mean? You exempted us from the obligation. Now we know one of the parts of the Siddur is you have to ask the questions. Manishtana Lazim, because I know Lord, etc. After the child asks those questions, the father answers Abadi Mayinu. What did Abaye do over here? All Abaye did is over here and said, hey, what's going on over here? Where's the food over here? You're taking away the food. So Rabbah says, that's it. We can start that Haggadah. We don't have to say Manishtana. Why? So Rashbam says, Detanya lekaman, Hacham beno shu'alo. If a person has a child, so the son asks the questions. V'im lav shu'elu le'atzmo. Hacham beno, if his son is a Hacham, the son asks the questions. If let's say his son doesn't ask the questions, he has to ask it himself. Which means Rabbah also has an obligation to say the Manishtana. If the son's not going to ask it, he has to ask it himself. Once Abaye asked the question, and he said, Hey, what's going on over here? To finish already. Already, the purpose of the Manishtana is what? To open up the dialogue in a question-answer form. Once already he asked the question, that's like Manishtana, therefore I'm able to answer. Now, this only works according to what the Rashbam says. But I want to remind you the Tosafot. Tosafot learned, how does the Manishtana work? Manishtana works is that the child comes along and says, hey, what are you doing over here? You took out the plate over here. We didn't eat dinner yet. This father answers back and says, oh, don't worry. There's going to be a second dipping, so we're going to bring it back. At that point, the child says, second dipping? What are you dipping twice? And at that point, the father says, oh, so according to Tosafot, when it says you exempted us from Manishtana, it doesn't mean that they didn't have to say Manishtana. Which means, it means that once you ask this question now already we could start the Manishtana. Because there's still more dialogue. Just because the child said, hey, what are you taking away to dinner for? Oh, that's not the way it works. What are you taking away the dinner for? The father starts to say back, because we still have, don't worry, we're bringing it back because there's one more tibul. Oh, there's one more tibul? Then what's the reason for that? Now the child didn't ask that question yet. What's the reason for the second tibul? So according to Tosafot, meaning now we're able to start. You didn't exempt us, meaning with that leading question, you have now allowed us to proceed by saying the Manishtana, and then we will provide with you the answer. According to Rashbam, no. The fact that he asked any question. What are we doing over here? Oh, what are we doing over here? Listen, tonight's a funny night. Tonight's we came out of Egypt, and therefore we're doing peculiar things, and therefore we want to remember Yisya'am Islam. Whereas the Tosafot is a little more to it, so you would still have to say, according to him, the actual Manishtana. Amen.